Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today. Hello, friend. Before we listen to Dr. Yoder's message for today, I want you to know that what you will hear will be the second part of a two-part message entitled Christ is Alive. Last week, we heard the first proposition in Dr. Yoder's message. It was this: the resurrection is the foundation of the gospel. We'll begin on today's program where we left off last week by picking up the message as Dr. Yoder introduces the second point of his outline: the resurrection is the confirmation of the gospel. Now, if you were not able to hear the program last week, please keep listening, because I'll tell you at the end of today's program how you can get a copy of the complete message. Right now, let's listen to Dr. Yoder.
The second proposition is, the resurrection is a confirmation of the gospel. We often say, seeing is believing. When there is an accident, we want to find, if we can, the witness who saw it. So the Apostle Paul calls up the witnesses of the resurrection. Who are they? Well, first there is Peter. He calls him Cephas. That's his Aramaic name, Cephas.
Were you there, Peter?
Yes, I was there. I saw him. He spoke to me, yes. Then he calls up the 12. They were in the room the day of the resurrection when he suddenly appeared before them and showed them his hands and his feet. Well, ask any one of them, were you there? They say, yes, I was there. Yes, I saw him. Well, then there were over 500 who were together at one time when he was there. He said the greater part of them are still living. Well, ask them. Talk to them. They can tell you, Paul is saying. See what they might say to you. Were you there when he came? Yes, I was there. Did you see him? Yes, I saw him. And then James, the brother of Jesus, once very skeptical. He would not believe. He had grown up with him. How could this brother of his be anyone special? But now he's different. After Jesus' death and resurrection, James was an ardent believer. Ask him, he was there. Yes, then last of all, there was Saul of Tarsus. Ask him. Oh, he gives his testimony. He says, last of all, he was seen of me. I have lived somewhat in Paul's shoes. I have tried to experience in my spirit what he must have experienced on that road to Damascus. Breathing out threatenings to the disciples, going with papers from the high priest to capture and bring back to Jerusalem those who believed, and probably supervise their execution. Then Jesus met him, and Paul said, I saw him. Most likely he saw him because the Shekinah glory of God threw him to the ground. And he, Paul, could never forget it. How could he? Having been so rabid against the Lord and having him speak to him so clearly, why are you persecuting me? He said he considered himself an overdue baby, born out of due time. Now, friend, it is true. No one else ever arose from the dead like Jesus did. But there was no one else who was born like he was, of the Virgin. No one else lived like he did, without sin. No one else died like he did. He wasn't killed. He gave up the ghost. He is the only one of his kind. He is the unique Son of God. That the Bible makes clear in several places. For example, that great golden text of the Bible has said it well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I tell you, he is the only one of his kind. Only the willfully ignorant refuse to believe the record. Paul listed the evidence, calling up, as it were, those who witnessed Christ's resurrected body. It was not a hallucination. They could handle him. They saw his hands and feet marred by the nails. It was as John the Apostle wrote in 1 John 1, verses 1 to 3, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The confirmation of his uniqueness is his resurrection from the dead. It is a confirmation of the gospel. Amen. The third proposition is, the resurrection is the motivation of the gospel. Paul ranks himself least of the apostles. He was a persecutor, as I was saying. He breathed out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Then he said, he became what he became by the grace of God. He said, I am a trophy of God's grace. That's what I say. What do you say? And you know, there were others who might have maligned themselves like he did. He said, I was a persecutor of the church. Peter could have said, well, I denied him. John could have said, I ran away. Paul's conversion, meeting Jesus, motivated him. Jesus met him, and he was never the same. That's what a conversion experience does to anybody. It was the source of his motivation. The grace of God, he said. And he said he labored more abundantly than they all. Well, what did he do? Well, listen to him in 2 Corinthians 11, 22-27. He reviews what he did. What a list that is. I'm speaking about 2 Corinthians 11, 22-27. Here are his words. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in washings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Oh, my friend, did you hear him? He worked more abundantly than they all. Of the disciples, only John died a natural death. All the rest were martyred, including Paul. Now there's no difference in who, but what is most important. Whether it was I or they, he said, we preached and you believed. The gospel was a motivation. This motivation, with new urgency, needs to grip the church members today. Time is running out. We can reach people all over the world as no other generation could. The judgment on us is we are too much consumed with our personal and private interests. We are like the man in Jesus' parable who buried his talent. He did nothing with it, only to return it to his Lord unused. If you are a professing Christian, I ask you, what motivates you? Has the truth of the gospel gripped your heart and action? The resurrection is the motivation of the gospel. Amen. Friend, make no mistake about it. Christ is alive. His resurrection is the foundation of the gospel I'm bringing to you. His resurrection is a confirmation of the gospel to everybody. His resurrection is a motivation to every true preacher. Romans 10:9 says it right. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now the question, of course, is, have you done that? Now is the acceptable time. Yes. Amen. Let's pray. O God, when I think of the gospel as the apostle laid it out here, It's surely, surely convincingly the work of thy mighty hand, thy all-knowing wisdom. Lord, I pray for that friend of mine who has listened to this message, and I'm asking that the Holy Spirit might bring that truth to him. And if he is a believer, then help him to rejoice greatly, because the resurrection proves to us that Christ is alive. Yes, amen. And I ask and give praise for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Friend, Dr. Yoder addressed a very important subject again today. Our salvation rises or falls on the fact of the resurrection. You know, of all the major religions of the world, Christianity is the only one that has a leader that is alive today. Muhammad, Buddha, Vishnu, Krishna, those leaders are all dead. And some of them have elaborate burial places visited faithfully by their followers. Those burial places only serve to reinforce the fact that those leaders are dead. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is alive. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like to help you better understand just how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ really is. And I can do that by offering to you a printed copy of the message you heard today. In fact, all the messages in our series of study from 1 Corinthians are printed in a paperback book called Glory in the Lord. I urge you to get a copy of this book. That way, you'll have this message to read and study on your own. And you'll have all the other messages too. And I believe it will help your understanding if you can have the entire message available for further study. And there's something else I want to make available to you as well. If you're listening today and you do not have a Bible, please write and ask for a copy. For the past 28 years, we've been giving away a free English language Bible to those who write and request one. But please remember, friend, this offer only applies to you if you do not have a copy of the Bible. Our goal is to get God's Word into the hands of as many people as possible. So that's why we only give Bibles to those persons who do not have one of their own. And so if you do not have a Bible, then write to us today. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can log on to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send an email with your request for the Bible or for Dr. Yoder's book. Remember, to receive your copy of Dr. Yoder's book, just write and ask for it by its title, Glory in the Lord. Friend, this will be a valuable resource in helping you understand the entire New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. Again, that title is Glory in the Lord, and we'll send a copy to you when you write and ask for it. Here's our mailing address once again. It's Hope for Today, Post Office, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Post Office, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org, where you can send an email with your request for either the book or for a free English language Bible. Now, when Dr. Yoder returns next week, we'll continue our study in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. I hope you'll join us as we learn about resolving the impossible. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.